Good morning. Sue was talking to the kids about reducing our use of technology, and here I have a screen right in front of me, and there's one right up here. So. Oh, well. Okay. For just a moment or two, I want you to imagine that if I reached into my pocket right now and went out amongst all of you and handed each of you right now a magic penny whose value multiplies by 100 every year. And after 1 year, this magic penny would be worth a measly $1. After 2 years, a paltry $100. After three, $10,000. After 4 years, $1 million. And after 5 years, $100 million. And that would be, or seem to me at least, an astonishing thing. But we would then perhaps notice that 99% of the five-year value of that coin comes during the fifth year. We might wonder, what was the coin doing during those first few years? But as any mathematician or financial advisor knows, it was compounding. And that so-called miracle of compounding has happened much the same way, as we all know, with technology. Within the last 250 years, the vast majority of the technology that we use today was invented. And so since modern humans first emerged over 200,000 years ago, we might assume that those early people were either intellectually lazy or just stupid. That, of course, is false. Human knowledge and technological advancement happen much like the compounding value of that magic penny I just mentioned. It took a very long time to develop the intellectual and scientific foundations for more recent innovations and discoveries. For instance, it took 75,000 years, 125,000 years ago, but it took 75,000 years since the dawn of the first human for people to first learn how to create and control fire. 50,000 years ago, humans developed crude stone tools. 8,000 years ago, we invented the first metal tool. 4,000 years ago, the wheel and abacus were invented. The printing press came 600 years ago. The telescope and microscope 400 years ago. The first steam and gasoline engines 300 years ago. Airplanes and cars 115 years ago. Electric computers 65 years ago. The internet 28 years ago. And artificially intelligent machines 7 years ago. So in the perspective of 200,000 years of Homo sapien history, the breathtaking, rapid technological advances of the last 250 years is astonishing. And artificial intelligence itself, the last invention I mentioned, artificial intelligence has led to even more amazing technological firsts. Driverless cars, robots that can learn, and the kinds of technology that may truly upend and perhaps make inconsequential the very existence of humanity. And this evolution of technology has been spurred throughout history by one common desire, the desire to make life more convenient. When early humans invented spears tipped with flint arrowheads, people caught more food. Their families were healthier, and they had more time to create new innovations, like domesticating wild animals so they no longer had to hunt. And that same impulse for convenience led to the invention of the steam and gasoline engines. People could then use them to grind their grains or weave their fabrics or quickly transport themselves across long distances. Life became more convenient. And similar inventions of convenience today allow me to deposit a check instantly by using my smartphone. I take a picture of it and send it over the internet to my account. No longer do I have to drive to the bank, stand in line for a teller, or wait 3 days to be able to spend the money. As we've come to realize, technological advancements are not always as good as originally thought. Nuclear power, as we know, offered the chance for limitless energy, but its dangers have the potential to destroy us. Gasoline engines clearly made life easier, but carbon dioxide emissions will cause profound climate change. Antibiotics have saved millions, but they've also caused the rise of superbugs, to which our bodies are defenseless. Added to those concerns comes a recent article by a Columbia University professor named Tim Wu, who asserts that the continuing development of technological conveniences threatens human significance. Symbolically, technology can get us to the top of a mountain by using a car or a helicopter, and we don't have to hike or climb. But what is the satisfaction of that? Technological convenience, this professor writes, diminishes our minds and our bodies and the very values that define us. The pursuit of convenience destroys values like hard work or diligence or perseverance. It also harms our ability to solve problems. And it can call into question the very reason why we exist. Since I believe our purpose for existence is to do more than just eat or procreate or seek pleasure, what happens if the work that defines us is increasingly done by machines? Indeed, the recent invention of machine learning, artificial intelligence, presents the very real possibility that years from now, not too far off considering how fast technology advances, the gathering at Northern Hills will not hire a minister or a music director, sorry, Michael, but will simply purchase software to sing and play the piano or to prepare and deliver Sunday messages. And, of course, you might all like that much better. And very few of the members of the congregation will have jobs either, since most work will be done by artificially intelligent machines. From providing legal advice, to teaching, to serving as doctors and nurses, to engineering, to even designing and building other machines that can learn and think. Machines will create themselves. And that takes me to my message series theme this month, The Road Less Traveled, and my topic today, Embracing Inconvenience. Well, making life easier seems to be the road best taken. Might the road less taken, the one that embraces inconvenience and challenge, be the one that makes all the difference? For the sake of our survival as a meaningful and capable species, shouldn't we try to balance our lives by not using so much technological conveniences? Shouldn't we instead embrace the inconvenience and the challenge of growing our knowledge, stretching our muscles, hiking to the summit of a symbolic mountain, and thereby live out our purpose? To work and to think and to serve and improve the world. This pursuit of convenience by most modern cultures is premised on the idea that physical and mental labor is somehow a burden, things we should avoid if we can. In the 20th century, early 20th century, convenience in the home became a goal. Washing machines and vacuum cleaners and electric ovens and dishwashers were all supposed to make life easier, particularly for women. Betty Friedan, in her book, The Feminine Mystique, wrote that for modern women, despite having multitudes of time-saving machines to help with housework, they now spend more time doing housework than their great-grandmothers. As Friedan notes, that says something not just about technology, but also about sexism. But that's another topic. convenience comes with a cost. It imposes more demands on people while also eliminating many of the skills and abilities that make us human. Why learn the art of cooking, for instance, if one can pour a mix into a bowl and add water and pop it into the microwave for heating? Far from enhancing the art of food selection and preparation, or the health benefits of eating natural foods, we now consume highly processed food products, manufactured in factories and cooked by machines, all for the sake of convenience. We've lost a meaningful connection to what we eat and how the preparation of food enhances our minds and bodies and souls. And the same is true for our office-related machines. Copiers, printers, computers, and word processors were all supposed to make business more efficient and thus allow more time for other tasks. Why bother learning greater language skills if computers correct spelling and grammar? Why learn advanced research methods of critical thinking or the ability to analyze complex issues if Google and the internet provide immediate answers? Why spend an evening with close friends engaging in enlightening conversation if one can go sit in a corner all alone and use Facebook or Twitter to chat with total strangers? And even worse, we've all seen groups of people who are physically together, but nevertheless isolated in a digital world displayed on their smartphones, and not being present with people sitting right next to them. And even relatively new forms of technology now seem irrelevant. Why anticipate and wait for a cherished TV show that might only be scheduled once a week if we can instantly stream multiple shows by the internet? Why handwrite a letter if one can email, or why email if one can text, or now why text if one can tweet? Indeed, the CEO and co-founder of Twitter, Evan Williams, recently said that convenience is the driver of everything we invent. And that fact for me is frightening. As I discussed in last Sunday's Easter message, challenges in life may not be enjoyable when we're in the midst of them. But by enduring and persevering through inconvenience, we find a new awareness about ourselves and about life. It's ironic, but true, that we cannot truly and fully know what joy is unless we know its alternative, pain and struggle. For me, my goal is to self-actualize and become more enlightened and more capable and more loving and hopefully more at peace. And technology can help me achieve those goals, but it shouldn't supplant them. In other words, if I can use a word processor to write a better Sunday message, that's, for all of you, a good thing. But if I use computers to replace my critical thinking abilities, what do I become? Technology can be a useful extension of me, but it can also become a destructive replacement of me, erasing all of the things that make me, me. I imagine I'm like most of you. I find meaning in what I do, my work, my service to others, my love, my thoughts and ideas and opinions. But if I use technology to do those things for me, I've ceased to really exist. I've stopped meeting the criteria of the Enlightenment philosopher Blaise Pascal, who said, quote, "I think, therefore I am." And if I don't think, if I don't work, if I don't struggle and cry and hurt and deeply feel, all because technological conveniences now do those for me, then I'm nothing. My very soul, the essence of my being, will have died. And that, I claim, is a stark danger for me and for you and for all humanity. In his book, A 2001 A Space Odyssey, the author Arthur Clarke explored the theme of how tools and technology affect humanity. And if you remember in the book or the film, HAL, the all-knowing and all-seeing computer in that film, has progressed in artificial intelligence to the point that humans have become irrelevant and even dangerous to HAL's existence. And so that HAL then kills almost all the humans on that spaceship. But Arthur Clarke, the author, made sure that one astronaut in his story wakes up to the threat and puts HAL under his control. Clarke's moral is that humanity can and will harness the good from technology while preventing its dangers. Now, for me, that's perhaps wishful thinking. For me, it all comes down to a human spiritual malaise, one that often leads people to think only of themselves and only of convenience and comfort. The easier, more pleasurable, and more hardship-free our lives are, we think the better. And unless we as humans understand that selfish character flaw in us and work to overcome it, I believe we'll continue the headlong pursuit of technological convenience at the expense of taking the inconvenient road less traveled. And as I said earlier, I don't believe we should abandon all technology. Clearly, the advances in medicine and transportation and computation have improved human life. But I do believe technological advances have also compounded to the astonishing point, like the magic penny I earlier presented, such that each new innovation has the ability to fundamentally alter or even destroy our meaning and our purpose. If Blaise Pascal was right, that thinking implies existence, and if machines become capable of truly thinking, then they'll have developed a form of life that is previously unimaginable. And given the fact that the universe is governed by the immutable laws of mathematics, machines that can calculate perfectly will outwit our imperfect brains. So much like Homo sapiens evolved beyond and ultimately replaced lesser hominids like the Neanderthals, machines could evolve and replace us. And the solutions to this troubling possibility are simpler. You may have some of your own. But I believe first we must stop believing that technology is benign, that it's neither good or bad. As tools created by humans, technology will reflect us, our qualities. And as such, we must intentionally design technology so that they reflect our good values. And we've seen that recently, and the importance of this, with the recent revelations about Facebook. Initially, it was hailed as a good way to bring people together. It can be a force for good, for equality and human connection and coexistence. But just as Facebook is used as a force for good, it's also been used as a force for evil, spreading falsehoods and hate and bigotry and maliciously encouraging disunity and anti-democratic forces. And that should not be allowed. We must demand of Facebook and other technological companies and their programmers and engineers and executives that they design technology so that it protects and enhances our universal values, or else abandon them. And my second solution is for us to willingly embrace inconvenience. Embrace inconvenience and do more things on our own without advanced technology. We must accept and embrace the challenge, the road less traveled, of learning and struggling and overcoming and thereby bettering our human condition. By implementing these solutions, we'll take the road less traveled, as I said, the one of less selfishness, the one of high ideals, the road of difficulty. Our purpose is not to merely survive as easily as we can, but to thrive. And that can only come as we balance the conveniences of technology with the challenges of our values, of work and persistence and service to others and learning, and yes, enduring hardship. Embracing inconvenience is one path, a road less taken, that will make all of the difference. And I wish each of you much thoughtful peace and joy.